Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Joined now by the man that will be the voice of the Stanley Cup Final on TNT, Kenny Albert. Kenny, welcome back and congrats on the assignment.
Thanks so much, Steve. How are you?
Doing great. Doing really well. Looking forward to this in a lot of ways. These are two teams that you go back to January 12th, Vegas was 19-20-4. At the All-Star break, which Florida hosted this year in Sunrise, they would not have been in the playoffs on that particular day. What turned it around for each team?
Well, it's crazy when you look at the paths that both teams took, Steve. Vegas misses the playoffs last year for the first time in franchise history in year five after having so much early success. They make the coaching change, up and down start to the season under the new head coach, Bruce Cassidy, as you mentioned. And then you have Florida, who went 25 years without winning a playoff series, finally did last year, lose in the second round after finishing with the best record in the regular season. And then this year, they're 9 points out in late December, and they scramble to make it in during the last week of the season, and then they fall behind the Bruins 3-1, and the rest is history. So, two very unusual paths, so to speak, and Vegas wound up winning the Western Conference, finished with 111 points. They had a great second half of the year, but they had some injuries. Their captain, Mark Stone, missed a significant amount of time. They used 5 goaltenders this year, so Stone finally comes back. They shore up the goaltending. And then on the Florida side, Sergei Bobrovsky, who's been incredible during the last 12 games, winning 11 out of the 12, he was not even the starter down the stretch in the regular season and over the first 3 games of the playoffs. So you probably would not have written the scripts this way, but here they are, Florida and Vegas, two teams that have never won a Stanley Cup, getting underway on Saturday.
And you mentioned the goaltending issue. Adin Hill's there because of an injury. Bobrovsky didn't even start the first game against the Bruins. In fact, Alex Lee, the first 3 games, he wasn't the starter against the Bruins. How improbable is this?
Since 1969, St. Louis and Montreal in a cup final where the two starting goalies did not start the playoff opener for both teams. So that's how long it's been. A couple of remarkable stories. You have Bobrovsky, who was a 2-time Vezina winner, his top goalie in the league, 13th season, but he's had his ups and downs since coming to Florida, and now he's the best goalie in the world over these last few weeks. And Adin Hill, who's somewhat of an unknown, third-round pick by Arizona in 2015, spent a couple of seasons there, then went on to San Jose, and Laurent Brossoit was the starting goaltender early in the playoffs, suffered the injury. Remember, they traded for Jonathan Quick, the 2-time Stanley Cup winner for the Kings. He's the backup now. They traded for Quick at the deadline, and here he is in another Stanley Cup final with the Vegas Golden Knights.
What kind of difference, in your opinion, has Jack Eichel made to Vegas?
Well, he's a terrific player, and during his 6 years in Buffalo, you could certainly see signs. He was the second overall draft pick, but it was a team that was rebuilding at that point. You could sense the frustration. But he's been really impressive, not only on the ice, but when I've seen him in interviews, he seems like he's really matured. And he's one of the leaders on this team. He had never been in the Stanley Cup playoffs before, and now playing in the Stanley Cup final. They have a lot of players with playoff experience. 5 members of the Golden Knights have won a cup. Alec Martinez in L.A., Petrangelo and Barbashev in St. Louis, Stevenson in Washington, Quick in goal for the Kings during their 2 championships. And then they also have 6 players who were on the Vegas team when they played the Capitals in the final in 2018. So a lot of playoff experience on the Vegas side. On the Florida side, you have Eric Staal, who won a championship back in 2006. Carter Verhaeghe was on the Tampa Bay Cup squad in 2020. And a number of other players who have played deep into the playoffs, some even in the Cup final. So it really should be a great series. I think it's 2 evenly matched teams. Florida's had the time off. By the time the puck drops on Saturday, it will have been 10 days since their last game, the sweep of Carolina. Vegas has played 3 games since then. So with the Panthers, will the rest help or will it hurt? Because they're They've been sitting around for so long. Same thing with Vegas. Will the momentum carry over because they played those three games after Florida's series had ended, or will the fact that they played those three games hurt? So we'll see come game one on Saturday night. But in my opinion, it really should be a terrific, exciting, great series of hockey between these two teams.
The most overtime goals in a single playoff. Mel Hill had three for the Bruins in 39. Rocket Richard had three for the Canadiens in 51. Corey Perry had three for Anaheim in 2017. Now Matthew Tkachuk. 10.5 months ago, Tkachuk was, let's face it, they were depressed after losing in five to Edmonton. Then the blockbuster trade. What has he meant, just pure presence on the ice for Florida?
Well, he's been tremendous. It was a trade, you know, contract-related on both sides with Tkachuk saying that he was not going to re-sign in Calgary once he became a free agent. And Jonathan Huberdeau was coming up on an extension, and the teams decided to make the deal. It's not often when 200-plus point scorers get traded for one another. And Mackenzie Weegar went the other way as well, a real good defenseman. And it's funny, Tkachuk had a great season, 40 goals, 109 points. Huberdeau had a down season. Calgary actually finished with one more point than Florida, believe it or not, during the regular season. And the Flames missed the playoffs, and the Panthers squeak in. And to watch Tkachuk during that Carolina series, I'm not sure I've ever seen one player have such an impact. And it wasn't necessarily over the course of the entire games, but the overtime goals he scored in Game 1 in the fourth overtime, and then Game 2 in the first overtime, and then the winner with 5 seconds left in Game 4 on the power play. So it's a great hockey family. Their father, Keith Tkachuk, and now the brothers, Matthew and Brady, who plays for Ottawa. There are 30 other teams in the league who would love to have either Matthew or Brady Tkachuk on their roster.
Yeah, no question. And Matthew Tkachuk's a big guy. He's 6'2". But what's interesting is you look at the Vegas defense. They have big men playing on defense. I mean, this is, in terms of pure size, one of the biggest defensive groups I've seen. I don't know about you.
They do, you know, right from 1 to 6 with Petrangelo, Martinez, McNabb, Theodore, Haig, and Whitecloud. It's a terrific group. And then you look on the other side with Aaron Ekblad's the only homegrown Panther on defense. Yeah. Forsling, Stahl, Montour, Mahura, and Gudas all came from other organizations, but two really, really solid groups.
Yeah. Florida is a team that this is going to be maybe the wrong way to phrase it, but I'll do it anyway. Back in the days with Jacques Lemaire, center ice trap, Devils, it was great. He even brought it to the Minnesota Wild, and they hung him with it. Now, obviously, you can't do as much of that stuff today. What do you see in Florida's defense that makes them so tough, especially just a pure entry into the neutral zone?
Well, in chatting with Paul Maurice during the last series, you know, you have a couple of veterans in Mark Stahl and Radko Gudas playing on those second and third pairings, and they've made a big impact on their partners, Brandon Montour and Josh Mahura. And then you have Aaron Ekblad and Gustav Forsling on that top pair. You know, Montour is a great skater, 73 points this year, set a franchise record for defensemen. Gudas is a guy who is always in the top two or three in the league in hits, so you have some different styles amongst those two on the right side on the second and third pair. Forsling's been really steady. Stahl has such a great hockey IQ. It's his 16th year in the league, and you know, maybe he's slowed down a bit as far as his skating, but the hockey IQ is what has really impressed Paul Maurice, and he's a stay-at-home defenseman, so it allows Montour to get up there on the rush. He scored 16 goals in the regular season, and he scored some big ones here in the playoffs.
At least Paul Maurice is there, so we still have a Hartford Whalers feel to it. All right, so, but on the other side is Bruce Cassidy. You know, we all know what happened with the Bruins. Bruins are now out after round one to Florida. He's still coaching in this one against Vegas. Now, look, it's not a vindictive thing, but what about the irony of that, Kenny?
A lot of irony as far as Bruce Cassidy is concerned. You get let go by the team that you brought to Game 7 of the Cup Final in 2019, lost on home ice to St. Louis. Boston goes out and sets league records for wins and points this season, and they lose in the first round, and here's Bruce Cassidy in the Stanley Cup Final. So I'm sure he's got a big smile on his face for a number of reasons. But, you know, the coaches to me, pretty similar as far as their backgrounds. They actually played against each other in junior hockey back in the 84-85 season in the Ontario Hockey League. Cassidy was a first-round pick by Chicago. Maurice was the last overall pick in the entire draft by Philly. So as far as their playing careers in the NHL, not similar. But they both had long coaching careers. Cassidy with three teams, started in Washington as a young coach, and then, of course, had great success in Boston. Here he is in Vegas. Maurice took over Hartford at the age of 28, one of the youngest head coaches in league history, and now he's the sixth all-time winningest coach. He's coached in the fourth most games, and he sets a record. He's gone 21 years between final appearances. He actually took Carolina to the final back in 2002, and now he's back. And, you know, he told us during the season, and it's been written, he thought he was done. When he left the Winnipeg Jets midway through last season, he thought that might be it. And sure enough, he gets a call out of the blue from Bill Zito, the Panthers' general manager, winds up getting hired in Florida to replace Andrew Brunette, who was just hired by Nashville yesterday. And here's Paul Maurice in the Stanley Cup final once again.
The power play is always interesting. Vegas is fortunate that they are a low penalty team because their penalty kill is only 63% in the playoffs. But they don't take a lot of penalties.
The Panthers, well, a big part of that was they had to play Edmonton in the second round. So,
yeah, that's true. And they,
I think
exactly, that is a big
probably
part.
Have that percentage if they had to go up against McDavid and Draisaitl on the power play.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
They did have the fewest penalties in the regular season, lowest in the league. So they do stay out of the box, and you know, that percentage probably an aberration because they played Edmonton, but it would certainly have to be better than that in the final against Florida.
Because the Florida Panthers are 28% on the power play, which has been good. But the odd part is their penalty kill is only 71%. And you know, for a team that usually is even strength played so well, that surprises me.
Yeah, it is a bit surprising. And again, you probably have to look at the teams they played, Boston and Toronto, in the first two rounds. But you know, it's a clean slate now. I'm sure the coaches are doing a lot of pre-scouting. Florida's had more time. When their series ended, Vegas was up 3-0. So my guess is they spent most of their time preparing for Vegas and not Dallas. So we'll see how it all plays out.
Hey, you'll have a great series. I know that. So thanks so much for the time today, and look forward to listening to every minute of it as you call it on TNT.
Well, thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. Should be a lot of fun. Our mutual friend Ben Baum will be sitting just to my left feeding notes and statistics. Eddie Olczyk to my right, whose son you know very well, Tommy, who played at Penn State and will be getting married this summer. So there'll be a pretty big Penn State flavor in the broadcast booth.
Yeah, one quick Tommy story. I have Tommy on between periods. I'm working on BTN. And I had him analyze the game to that point, and I looked over and said, you might be better than your dad.
So, and then you have Nick Olczyk, who's broadcasting out in Seattle. So
yeah,
Olczyk's all over the place.
Well, we got one Kenny Albert, and we got him on today. So thanks so much. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.